we've made a lot of progress in the past couple of years. When you look at districts that have made double-digit gains, like Gallup, where 40% of our Native American kids go to school, like Farmington, like Hobbs, like Gadsden, and I think it's hard sometimes for the public and for your listeners to understand just how significant that progress is.
The judge did in her ruling talk about the progress that's been made, but ultimately she ended up writing that those nominal gains were not enough to excuse the state from liability for failing to meet those constitutional rights. And this is a case about discrimination, right? So what do you say to the fact that certain students, Native American students, English language learners, students with disabilities, and economically disadvantaged students are getting the short end of the stick? I mean, that's the crux of this case.
Yeah, so let me just say first and foremost, I think that the judge and the public and those that are calling the gains that have been made from 2015 to now nominal are really off the mark. That does not mean that we don't need to focus on equity in our funding formula. That doesn't mean that kids don't have a right to not just textbooks and technology and some of the things the judge talked about, but also a right to literacy and a right to numeracy. And that's why we focus so much on early literacy, for example, over the last 5 years.
Do you just outright reject the judge's determination in this case, or specifically what did she get wrong?
The judge makes a very causal argument between money and outcomes. I was with our superintendents last week and I said, if we provide more money, can you guarantee better outcomes? And not one of our 89 superintendents raised their hand, because it's just a little bit more complicated than that. It's not as simple as a one-to-one relationship that more money will automatically lead to more outcomes, that there certainly needs to be other policies, practices, and mindsets built around that, that it's just not quite that simple.
Right. And the judge was never making the argument that more money in and of itself would improve the education. She wrote in her ruling that the additional money should be spent on programs that target those at-risk student populations. Judge Singleton, in her ruling, also spends a lot of time talking about the need for more accountability systems. So we heard testimony in the case that PD had failed to keep track of English language learner programs, failed to oversee the development of culturally relevant materials. So my question is, how could PED do better in these areas that really require outreach and relationship building?
Yeah. So first, the English language proficiency of our English language learners will now be part of school grades for the first time ever in the 18-19 school year. Second, we've now moved from just twice a year government-to-government meetings to monthly conference calls with the Indian Education Council. And then the third piece, as we've, as a PED, gotten more involved in holding people accountable for the usage of those dollars, we've encountered massive resistance from districts, from charters, and from stakeholders. So there is some tension there with the idea of local control brushing up against the idea of PED oversight into all things happening in our schools. When the same folks that are often asking for more resources are also asking to get rid of the core ways that we've measured student progress over the last 5 years, when they're saying, we need more resources, however, let's get rid of the assessment that is the basis for the ruling, that is deeply problematic. Because how would New Mexicans know? If we have baseline data now, starting in 2015, wouldn't we want to measure student progress and student success the same way over the next decade to see if the additional resources pay off? And so when folks talk about more money, but then talk about dismantling accountability structures, it's really problematic.
I don't think there's a place in the judge's ruling that talks about dismantling the assessments. This is about the constitutional rights of specific groups being violated, right? Do you believe that New Mexico and the Education Department has violated the constitutional rights of Native American students, English language learners, students with disabilities, and economically disadvantaged students?
Over the last several decades, we have underserved our children, right? There's no question about that. You look at the progress that we made in the 90s, not a lot. You looked, and we were, you know, a $1 billion system then. You look at the progress we made the next 10 years when we were a $2 billion system. Now we're a $3 billion system. And I think even as the amount of money has gone up from $1 billion to $2 billion to now almost $3 billion, we have often underserved our students. I've been the first one to say, as I've had a chance to be in this role for the last year now, that there are things that we can do better, that we can refine, that we can re-up, that we need to diversify what we're doing. We need to focus on rigor and relevance, relevance and rigor, not one or the other. But let me also say this about the last 5 years. potentially for the first time ever in New Mexico, we are being 100% honest about our students' performance. And that is a big shift from where we were a decade ago. We were looking kids and parents in the eye, telling them they were proficient in reading, telling them they were on grade level in math. Then they would get to college and they would need remediation. In the last 5 years, our results on the PARC assessment and on other assessments that we use correlate with ACT, correlate with college GPA. So there's also this interesting tension happening in our education system right now where, example, Judge Singleton is using the 2015 PARC results as the foundation for part of her opinion. But then other folks are saying we need to get rid of the PARC. And that just is a total head scratcher.
Our state has districts ranging from huge, huge Albuquerque public schools all the way to many small rural districts. When we're thinking about how to make education sufficient and uniform, and particularly providing adequate education for those at-risk students, how can the state build a system of accountability that works for that whole range of sizes and geographic situations of districts?
Yeah, and this is where we need a both-and approach, not an either-or approach. I think that we've done things like be careful in terms of our weight on proficiency versus growth. We're adding this new student survey. We're adding English language proficiency. We're putting science into school grades for the first time. We've diversified the measures that count for college and career readiness. So it isn't just academic measures. It's work keys. It's apprenticeships. It's dual credit. It's all the other things that could count, if you will, for college and career readiness so that we're not being too narrow. We also have an assessment that tests critical thinking and creativity. And over the weekend, I've been reviewing PARC items that were in front of our kids. And my goodness, the level of agility and dexterity that those items require is not, I think, what people think it is. It's not rote. I've also been provided funding for our Native American communities to pilot and develop assessments in native languages with the long-term goal of incorporating those into our accountability systems. And we can learn from the Navajo Nation in that regard. They have a Diné assessment that they've already incorporated into their sovereign accountability system. So I think there's a lot to learn, and I think there's money that can be made available in a very targeted way over the next several years.
So you still have about 6 months in office here. Is there anything you heard in testimony in this case or read in the judge's ruling that you want to be sure to take care of in the time you have left?
Yeah, there is a lot of momentum that we want to build upon and make sure that that momentum carries into the next 5 years. Take something like pre-K. You know, we've grown from $6 million at the end of Governor Richardson's term to $33 million. At the end of Governor Martinez's term. Let's build on that, right? We met almost all the demand that was out there for pre-K. We opened up 11 new districts will have pre-K, 11 out of 89 for the first time. These are the kind of things that we want to keep building momentum on. I'd put pre-K in that category. I'd put meaningful teacher quality in that category. I deeply believe there's a path forward for New Mexico. The goal for us has to be to come together in a bipartisan way, but we have to embrace both money and measurement, not just money without measurement, rigor and relevance. It's not an either or, it's a both and.
Secretary Ruskowski, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Hannah.